Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18. We're looking at wisdom personified in this section. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasuries. We'll take just that much, those four verses. Jonathan, would you lead us in prayer? Now in this chapter you have something special in that wisdom is personified, and we know from the New Testament that wisdom is Christ. And we saw that the fear of the Lord, reverential trust, is the beginning of wisdom and leads to the knowledge of the Lord. So it enters into a relationship with the Lord. A person, in other words, who knows the Lord Jesus Christ has wisdom. A person who maybe has facts about the Bible, but they don't know the Lord of the Bible, they don't have wisdom. So it is that which involves a relationship. We've seen also that wisdom involves our walk, because wisdom is knowledge applied. And of course, our relationship with the Lord involves our walk. If we're going to walk with Him, we've got to walk in righteousness. And this section bears that out. Now, one of the main points in this section that we're in is riches. But you have the durable riches, we'll talk about that. That would be the true riches. And then you have the substance, the riches of this world. And it's good to have that in perspective. Now, you'd have to admit we live in a country which is materialistic. And many times values are based upon materialism, wealth. And so it's good to see the Bible's viewpoint, and it's good for ourselves to have the wisdom's viewpoint on this, what really is valuable. Now, notice in verse 17, you notice he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, flowing from his love are the following blessings. So there's a connection here in this context with the previous, because God's love is manifested. He pours out his blessing. That really, by definition, is his goodness. And so here's the outflow of his love. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Now, riches and honor, both spiritually and physically, are with me. We're going to go into this with riches, and then he differentiates here durable riches and righteousness. And then he does talk about, if you go down to verse 21, where he's talking about inheriting substance, there he probably is referring to physical riches. In other words, God's provision for his own. So you do have both in this context. Now, with the thought of honor, the Lord Jesus Christ said, those that serve me, my Father will honor. And there's an honor that comes from God. There's an honor that comes from men. You might recall, I think it's in John 5, where Jesus said, well, how can you believe who seek the honor that comes from men and not the honor that comes from God? And so, no doubt, the honor that he's talking about here is where God honors you. However, if God honors you, there is typically an honor that comes from men, not necessarily the world, though. So there's an honor that is a righteous honor. So riches and honor are with me. Now, you notice how he puts this in a very personal way. With me, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen two key verses on that. 1 Corinthians 1:24, he's the wisdom of God, the power of God. And then Colossians 2:3, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we're not stretching it, you know, to say that this is referring to Christ here. And when he's, for instance, verse 17, I love them that love me. Well, that's not just loving truths about the Bible, that's loving the Lord, who is wisdom. He's the fulfillment of it. So riches and honor are with the Lord. They are found in that relationship with the Lord. God is going to provide for his own, and more importantly, though, God will even give durable riches. Now, let's go to Isaiah 23 on this thought of durable riches. It can have a twofold thought, but I believe primarily it's referring to the eternal. In Isaiah 23:18, this is referring to the kingdom, I believe. This is referring to Tyre in the kingdom. And her merchandise, 23:18 of Isaiah, her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. Now that's our word, durable. And, you know, it is true in the material realm. We're just passing through, and we are to use the things of this world, not to abuse them. But good stewardship looks for that which will be durable, right? You want to have something that it is wisdom to have quality because you want it to last, or you can throw money away, right? So that's in the physical realm. But I believe that the durable riches and righteousness that he's referring to, and especially since he couples it with righteousness, is referring to something higher. Let's go to Luke chapter 16, verse 10. But you notice in that passage there in Isaiah, extravagance for luxury's sake, that won't be in the kingdom, but that which is for the needs, to eat sufficiently for durable things. In other words, it won't be, you're not going to have that kind of materialism in the kingdom, but that which will last and be durable. And that's a good viewpoint on the material. Now, Luke 16:10. The context here, well, I won't read all this, but it has to do with stewardship. In verse 10, he gives the application. He says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," or money, "who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Now, you have the true riches here, no doubt referring to that which is eternal souls, the privilege of serving the Lord, you know, that which is going to last forever. And so the being faithful in that which is least, of verse 10, would be the physical money, that which is least. You know, it isn't going to last. And we're not going to last either, and not in this temporal, mortal existence. And so, but we're stewards though, right? And so we want to be faithful with that. If we are faithful with that, that's a good indication that we'll be faithful with the stewardship of souls, with the stewardship of a ministry. So it's an interesting contrast, you know, that he gives there. By the way, money itself is not a carnal thing. It is compared to that in, for instance, it says if regarding Israel, if you're in their debt for the spiritual, shouldn't you? Is it a big thing if you minister to them in the carnal? But that which is set apart to God, though, is holy, isn't it? And that was the point in that passage back there in Isaiah. So, but if we're faithful in that which is least in the material, God may give us the true riches, the souls, the spiritual blessings. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. You know, sad to say, this time of year becomes very materialistic. It's overdone. There's no question about that. And there's too much occupation on the material. And it's good to have our heads screwed on straight with that, you know, and to appreciate what God gives, but to realize what is truly valuable, to realize that which is eternal. And of course, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we have the true riches. But then there is such a thing, isn't there, as adding to that inheritance in heaven by your service to the Lord. In Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, what are we thinking about? What are we setting our hearts upon? Whatever you're setting your heart upon, that's where your treasure is. So Colossians 3, set your affection on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. You are dead, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so, since you're risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. That's higher. And there's the true riches, the things of the Lord. And an inheritance, by the way, that'll never fade away. You don't know about this life, but you can know about the next, right? As a believer, we know we'll be with Him, and we are kept by the power of God. And let's go to 1 Peter, where he talks about this. Again, this is the durable riches. Hebrews, stop there on your way if you would. Hebrews 10:34. You know, there have been many a person. In fact, early in this country, those that founded this country, those men that signed the Constitution, you know, I've heard that they lost about everything. There was a price to pay. But they would no doubt, as believers, have enduring substance. In Hebrews 10:34, for ye had compassion on me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So surely that would correspond to the durable riches. And let's go to one more here. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Peter has a lot to say about hope, the future. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. And so that's a durable riches. That's that which is reserved. It's in God's bank, so to speak, and it'll never pass away. So it's good to have His viewpoint. So with wisdom, there is riches, there's honor, most of all honor from God, and yea, durable riches, and righteousness. Now, let's go back here in Proverbs chapter 8. With wisdom is righteousness. Now, this is very important. We saw last week in our study in Luke, John the Baptist, in the ones that were his parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, it says, were righteous before God. And they kept the commandments of the Lord, and they were blameless. And we saw they had two kinds of righteousness. Since this is a Sunday school class, I'm going to ask you, what are the two kinds of righteousness that we need? Very good. Imputed and imparted. And the imputed righteousness, not to go over that again this morning too much, but we know that that's God's righteousness put to our account by faith in Jesus Christ. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. And of course, that has behind it the premise that man has no righteousness. There's none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so man, if he's going to be acceptable to God, has to have God's own righteousness. And there's justification, God's acknowledgement. One has been declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a judicial term. It's like the gavel in heaven drops, justified. It's God's declaration. But he that doeth righteousness is righteous, 1 John 3:7. In other words, if a person has imputed righteousness, they will have imparted righteousness. You can never divorce the two. And if a person has salvation, you're going to see the manifestation of that. In Romans chapter 8, if we walk after the Spirit, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. And God brings it about. It's God who's working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. So it's not a self-righteousness that's produced. It's not that which is of the flesh, but that which is by the Holy Spirit. And if we are walking with Christ, we will be walking in righteousness. 1 John, God is light, God is righteous, God is love. And the goal is to walk as He walked. So with wisdom is durable riches and righteousness. Now how valuable is that? To have a right standing with God and to have a right life before God, where you have a satisfaction as much as you know you're doing the will of God. Do you have that? Now that will give peace to the heart, right? If you know you're walking with God and you know you're living righteously. And I realize that we, as Paul put it, pressing toward the mark, and we don't arrive, but we want that experiential righteousness to get closer to the positional righteousness. And so with wisdom is righteousness, imputed and imparted, and God gives it. And that's a great thing to have, isn't it? You know, there are so many. In fact, I filled in at Kent State, and I asked the question, what do you believe about how one gets saved? Because there's half a dozen there, and I wanted to see where they were. And the one fellow, he was real clear. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You come right to God through Him. It was bingo. And the other, he said, well, and part of it was right. He said, you had to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And there are certain works that you are to do because faith without works is dead. That's wrong. And now, there's truth in it, right? Because the faith that works, the faith that saves, works. But to give that as an answer for salvation is a red flag. And if it's not qualified by, it's the proof of salvation, it's not the basis of salvation. Besides, if you're going to give the right answer, you're certainly going to include the cross, aren't you? And that we're justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Well, that's the wisdom of the Bible. And it's God shows that a person that, right? And when they see that issue of grace, that's when the light comes on. But this righteousness, we know, is the gift of righteousness. In Romans is the book on this subject, right? And in Christ, we have righteousness. He has made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But always, it's going to produce, if a person's truly in God's family, you're going to see it. And I realize it isn't perfect, but God will work it in there, won't He? In the life, there'll be the fruit of it. There'll be the proof of it. Otherwise, you have to question, if a person doesn't want to do the will of God, they're probably not a child of God. Okay, let's go on in Proverbs. So with wisdom is righteousness. Now, verse 19, we'll move a little quicker here. He says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Now, the fruit of wisdom really takes a total study of Proverbs to see what that is. But let's hit some of the highlights here. Proverbs 9:10, we'll hit just some key verses, about seven of them here, that show you the fruit of wisdom. My fruit is better than gold. Why is the fruit of wisdom better than gold? We'll see this in Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now you think about that. You know God. You have the knowledge of the Holy One because you have entered into wisdom with the fear of God, reverential trust, and you know Him. Now, consider this. The source takes precedence over the product. In other words, to know He who is wisdom is better than all the benefits of wisdom. In fact, that is the primary benefit of wisdom. You have Him who is wisdom. And for instance, in Psalm 73, Asaph, he said, whom have I in heaven but Thee? There's none on earth I desire beside Thee. Though my flesh and my heart fail, yet God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In other words, I have the Lord, and He's my portion. And he goes on to say, it's good for me to draw near to God. And so he has that satisfaction. So this is one reason. The fruit of wisdom is better than gold because you know the Lord. And then eternal life. Let's go to Proverbs 3:18. People want to live, don't they? We want to have a quality of life. In Proverbs 3:18, well, God gives it, even eternal life. She is a tree, wisdom is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. And certainly that would refer to eternal life. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 35. For whoso findeth me, wisdom, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now there you have two thoughts. Favor of the Lord, along with eternal life. Now, one of the primary things we've seen in the earlier chapters of Proverbs is wisdom will give you deliverance from evil. And let's go to Proverbs 2:12. We've seen this in relation to the evil man and the evil woman. Proverbs 2:12. To deliver thee, wisdom will do this, deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. And we've seen some warnings about that man and how he'll draw you in. He's subtle. He's the one that speaks with his fingers, you know, and shuffles with his feet. You got to watch out for the evil man out there. He'll try to take you. He'll try to take your money, or he'll try to take your honor. And then you have the evil woman. We saw the horrible consequences of that. Well, wisdom will keep you from the evil woman, because wisdom gives a good, healthy warning about that, and the downfall of sin, and the blessing of marriage. And we've seen that. So how great is that blessing? Deliverance from evil. Now here's a good one. Proverbs chapter 3. There's people who would give millions of dollars for this one, but it's free in Christ. 3:17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Now that's what we need, don't we? Peace. I give unto you my peace, give I unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I saw that with Jerry Jackson this morning. She's a believer. She's having gallbladder surgery. And you can see that. She's with the Lord's with her. You know you're going under the knife. There's peace. There's peace from God. Wonderful to have peace with God. Whatever you go through in life, He can give you peace that passes understanding. And then health. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil, it shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. By the way, those things go together. If you do have peace, your blood pressure might even get lower, you know, and your heart rate. And less anxiety will promote good health. The doctor will tell you that. And so we need peace, don't we? Peace from God. He has a monopoly on it. Now let's look at this one, Proverbs 3:16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. So length of days, how many there have been who've walked with God, long life. And so, my fruit is better than gold. It's very obvious how much better it is to get wisdom, especially when you consider it involves a relationship with the Lord, eternal life, His peace, His joy, so on. And let's see, I didn't touch on this one. It's in our context also. Proverbs 3:16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. So there is honor. And that is true, isn't it? You go contrary to wisdom, there is dishonor. And so if we can walk in a path of wisdom, there's honor in that. Okay, now let's go back. Now, riches are compared here to wisdom. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. And the thought there being pure and fine gold, literally gold which has been separated from the base mixtures, having been purified by fire. So fine gold, it's better than that. My revenue than choice silver. You know, today people are concerned about investments, and it's wise to have good investments, right? That's a big one. Gold. That's durable, right? Well, wisdom's better than gold. And so we want to get it. We want to shoot for that which is viable. We want to shoot for something that's high. There's a choice involved, isn't there? Remember Moses? He made a choice. He chose the reproach of Christ, he esteemed that to be greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You're talking about extreme wealth that was at his fingertips there. But instead he chose to serve the Lord. It wasn't an easy path, but he was faithful in all his house, and he'll be with the Lord, and he will have eternal blessing. And so how much better it is to have wisdom than gold? How much better to choose it and to go in that path and to know these blessings? Now, to the world, it doesn't seem better. And they can't value this because, again, we live in a materialistic society that doesn't have a right value system. But that's what wisdom will do. It'll give us a right value system. You know, what really does matter? And now, whether we like it or not, I think, isn't this so now? Maybe you might disagree with me. It's influenced us, hasn't it? It's influenced our thinking. It's influenced our view, our value system. So that's where the Bible brings that renewing of the mind, doesn't it? Where we've got to get God's viewpoint here. We want to set our affection on things above. Now, we've seen this thought of it being better than gold before, but let's touch on Proverbs 3:14, for instance, in 15. The merchandise of it, wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now, I've seen people in the nursing home. You know, when a person gets old, it's an equalizer. You get to the end. Whether they've been wealthy or whether they've been poor, there they are, many times. And so, but what a blessing when a person has Christ. And seeing people, well, there was one man, I've related this before, his name was Paul Wiggers, and he worked 40 years at Bliss, and he was a farmer, so all he did was work. And it was in the weld shop, that was in the years when Bliss was really busy. And so he never really thought about eternal things. And he was dying, 89 years old, dying of cancer. But then when he was presented with that, God did open his heart, and he saw that. He wanted to have peace with God, and he trusted Christ, and he died the next morning. That's one of those close ones. And I believe he's truly saved. Because he's a very matter-of-fact guy, you know. He said, well, I wouldn't want to lie. But how much better it was for him to have that than all the revenues that he might have had from the years working. And there have been other people in there, but other people who maybe don't have anything, but they have the true riches, and they come in there saved, and they have their hearts set on the things of the Lord. How much happier they are, how much more fulfilled they are. They've walked with God. So it's better, definitely better than gold. Let's go to Psalm 19. It reminds me of it too. There's a man up in Cleveland that owned a factory, and he had a preacher. He's a black man. He was in his company. I know I've related this before, and this man was dying, and he called the preacher in, and he said, I've given my money to this charitable organization and to this, and he said, you can give all your money away, it's not going to get you to heaven. And then he told him how to be saved, and he went into the hospital, and then he died. And his wife told the man, my husband did what you told him. He had peace with God. He was ready to go. So, wonderful thing. If they have wisdom, they have Christ. Let's go to Psalm 19:10. Better, more to be desired are they than gold. Now this is the word of God. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. Now here's a very practical application. If you believe that the word of God, which contains wisdom, is better than gold, what are you going to do? You're going to be in the word of God. And that's going to be a major goal. And with men, many times, okay, we're responsible. We've got to provide for our own, and we do. It's possible to have that eclipse this, you know, where it's like we knock on doors, you know, well, I'll get my wife. Wait a minute. She reads the Bible. Well, it's important, isn't it? That the fruit is better than gold. And if we really believe that, we'll have time in the Word. Let's go to Psalm 119, 127. 119, 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Now that's quite a statement. Could you make that statement? If you could have a big pile of gold, you know they had those talents. I don't know, what would a talent of gold be worth? $1 billion? I don't know. But you could have a choice, a big pile of it, or here's the truth of the Bible. What would you choose? And so it's better than gold. That's what he's saying. And now, you know, Solomon wrote this, and he had some gold. And let's go, well, I better go on. Let's go back here. My time's running out. In Proverbs, moving on here in Proverbs chapter 8. So wisdom, it's better than gold. We've seen it has the durable riches and righteousness, and yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Now let's go on to verse 20. Here we come back to this thought of righteousness. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. So wisdom acts strictly according to justice and rectitude. This is the nature of wisdom's activity, is the thought. And so God's never going to lead us contrary to righteousness. Let's go to Proverbs 2, 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now there's protection in that path of righteousness. In Psalm 23, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And verse 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment or justice and preserveth the way of his saints. And so that's the path he's going to lead us in the midst of the paths of justice. Now we're going to see tonight in the book of Deuteronomy, God prescribed justice for those that were judges in the land, and they weren't to pervert that, weren't to take a bribe or anything like that. So those responsible for administering that were to act justly. Well, God leads us that way, doesn't he? He expects us to walk in justice, in righteousness, that which is right. In fact, not turning to the right hand or to the left, where we're weighing everything. Is this right? Is this in line with the Word of God? It is a straight and narrow path, isn't it? And you can go off. You can so easily go off in one day. And so wisdom, if we remember, wisdom's Christ, and if we're close to him and we're walking according to his word, he's going to lead us in this path of righteousness. Now, here's the catch. We still have the flesh, right? And therefore, it's so necessary. Let me turn to this instead of quoting Romans chapter 8. So necessary to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit if we are going to make the right choices, if we are going to walk in the path of righteousness. We have the word of God objectively, but then we need God's inward working, who works in the realm of the desires. In Romans 8, 3, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, principle of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now there's the judgment of the old man. The point being, you can say no to the old man, Romans 6. That, in order that, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us, by the way, in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's a living by dependence on the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's the path of righteousness, if you bring in the New Testament. So the wisdom will lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. And again, that's a safe path. He'll protect us in that path. You want to stay on the path. You know, it says he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all his ways. So you get outside of that, our salvation is secure, but we are going to get burnt if we go outside of the path of wisdom. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs in chapter 8. One more passage here. In 8:21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasuries. Now, notice how this ties in with verse 17. He says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And then again, we see the outflow of his love with the blessings that he gives. And he's looking for that love, that I may cause them who love me. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And do we get mechanical? Are we going through the motions? Here we are at church again. I'm reading my Bible. Is it mechanical? Or is it something out of love for the Lord? Is it something we know we're to do? Or is it an expression of our devotion to Him because we want to please Him? We love the Lord. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's the real motive behind the keeping of his commandments. So he's looking for that. Jesus sets the most important commandment. Love the Lord thy God, all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. And so he's looking for the heart. So that I may cause those who love me to inherit substance. Now here we come to another promise. And this one does seem to point to the substance that would be physical. And both come from God, right? He gives the true riches. He gives the eternal, durable riches. But he also gives substance. And let's go to Proverbs 3. And this would parallel with it, I believe. Proverbs 3:9. The thought here is, if the Lord's put first, he's going to take care of the rest. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, that sounds nice. That'd be wonderful if that really were true. Well, that is really true. You can't outgive God. Now, that's a fact. I've witnessed that. And so, God will take care of you, and it's a principle. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, these other things will be added. Now, that doesn't mean he won't test you, you know. And because he does. Even Jesus was tested, wasn't he? In 40 days and 40 nights, make this stone into bread. So there may be times like that. But this is wisdom, to honor the Lord, put him first. And that I believe it coincides with this. And that would be an expression of love to him. But the point here is, we'll inherit substance. He says, I will fill their treasuries. Now, you don't want to correlate this with the, what is that group? The Get Rich Prosperity Movement. Thank you. And where God wants you rich. Well, God's already made you rich if you're saved, right? You already have eternal blessings. And that's the true riches. So it's good to keep that in perspective. And besides, there's a dispensational distinction there. In the Old Testament, there were definite promises of material prosperity to Israel because they're God's earthly people. And you and I are in the church, and we are God's heavenly people. And God has promised to meet all our needs according to his riches and glory. So you don't have promises of being rich. Some Christians are, though, and apparently God trusts them with it, if they are. So, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, if they honestly receive that. But the point is, God is going to give you substance as you love him. God is going to take care of his own. Now, you compare, for instance, a believing father. If a man provides not for his own, he's worse than an infidel, and he's denied the faith. Well, definitely a believing father, he's going to provide for his own, right? And, well, how much more a Heavenly Father? He's certainly going to provide for us. And it's a matter of faith. And here, it's a matter of love. Well, love the Lord and set our hearts on him. Besides, getting back to the overall thought here, there are the durable, eternal riches that are found in wisdom. And that's the most important thing anyway. And that's where we want to have our hearts set on. We want to have our hearts set on the giver, not the gift anyway, right? And so easily can we get our heads screwed on wrong with that, you know. So because we're flesh and blood, so it's good to, this is wisdom's viewpoint, it's good to see Okay, here's the durable riches, and this is what God has promised. And we know Jesus Christ. We have Him as our portion. And the fruits of knowing Him are tremendous, and they're eternal. And now it's a walk of faith, but even in this life, bear with me with this statement. It's not from the Bible, but even if there was no heaven, it'd be better to be a Christian in this life than not to be. But there is a heaven, and the best is yet to come. So even in this life, you know, it's only the Christian that has real joy, real love, real peace, and the blessings, the spiritual blessings, and the durable riches that the Bible talks about. But then, as a kind of a bonus, you could say, here's the substance too. I'm going to provide for you too. And so that, and remember the thought, seek ye first. Now, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These other things will be added. And in other words, I'll free you up there so that you can just set your heart on the Lord, and I'll take care of you in the other area. I believe He will. He generally uses means. Now, Proverbs certainly advocates, and we're going to see it later. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, you know. It is with some hard work. It's still the sweat of your brow. But the point is, the blessing comes from God. The provision comes from God. And so we have the durable riches that are found in wisdom. We have the fruit of wisdom, which are many superior to the material. And then we see righteousness in this context. That's wisdom's path. And what a blessing that is. And that takes some study, by the way, doesn't it? This is a book to read and reread. This is a book to meditate on. The whole Bible, but the book of Proverbs, if there's a book that'll tell you the path of righteousness, this will do it. The book of Proverbs. And then, of course, He's looking for our love. That obedience to Him, according to His word, is to be out of love. Or it's not real obedience. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for wisdom. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we know Thee. We rejoice in life eternal, and we rejoice in imputed righteousness. We rejoice, Father, that we can walk with Thee in this life. Help us to walk closer to Thee. Help us, Father, to truly walk in wisdom. Keep us on that straight and narrow path. Keep us from covetousness. And keep us from that, Father, which goes contrary to Thy will, and away from a close relationship with Thee. Deepen us in these things, and work Your work of grace in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.